I went to college to become a public school teacher.
And I was a product of public school. My mom was a public school teacher for 30 years.
But when we had our own kids, our perspectives slowly began to change.
Now that we've experienced Christian school for our daughter, we can't imagine doing it any other way. I'm Chris Stegall.
And I'm Christine Stegall. We hope you'll join us with your kids in Making the Leap.
We're Christ-centered because we love our students so much, but firstly, because we love Christ so much. And that means that all truth and all right and righted relationship begin with and emanate from the person of Jesus Christ. If we get those two things right, and we're providing that education for a life of scholarship, leadership, and service, then a lot of things are going to line up.
Hey, welcome into this latest edition of Making the Leap. You know, we hear from a lot of fascinating people all over the country. We obviously like to talk about Christian schools that are doing it well. This Christian school today that we're going to feature is doing it so well, they've decided to get into our business of podcasting. That's just showing off at this point. We welcome to the show today the principal and CEO of Covenant Christian High School in Indianapolis, Indiana, Dr. Andy Goodwin, who's also now the host of a show called Transforming Lives podcast. And Dr. Goodwin, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome in.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
The podcast, let's start with that. I think it's self-explanatory that you're, and we'll get into Covenant Christian, but I'm very, very intrigued as to why a principal and CEO of a school decided to get into the podcast business as well.
Well, I was bored. I was just kind of sitting around trying to figure out what to do
because
nothing to do at all. No, you know, people kept coming up and telling us some really great stories about how Christ-centered ed had changed their lives. And most of that was in the Covenant context. And I thought, you know, it'd be really nice if more people heard those stories and were inspired by them and maybe had some of the same shared stories, answered some of the questions that they had been asking. And I thought, well, maybe we can do that in the format of a podcast. But then I realized, and probably somebody out there had already figured this out, that it's not just in the Covenant context or even in Indianapolis, but God is at work all over the place through Christ-centered ed. And so I just decided to try to extend the conversation beyond Covenant in the Covenant context. And you know, back in October, we thought, man, if we could just have 10 stories, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. And it's just really blown up from there. And I'm learning a lot and just very grateful to be a part of it.
It is really amazing when you start looking. It's almost as if you don't have to look. The stories just start coming to you. I think
case in point,
right?
This interview today.
Yeah. But it's such a testament, I think, to what is happening, and I'm so grateful that you're sharing those stories. You had some really interesting, as I was listening to the podcast, a few of the episodes and going back through, I specifically was drawn to one that you focused on. You had a dad on kind of talking about, mm-hmm. I think it was earlier on. I probably should have already pulled that up for you, but that was one that stuck out to me. I wondered if you could share maybe an episode or two that have really just kind of jumped out at you. I know over the last 2 years that we've done this, there have been some that just kind of, they live rent free up here. You know, you're always remembering those. I wondered if you could share something that you really have been impressed by or amazed by.
Yeah, thank you. And first of all, thank you for listening, and I appreciate your engaging the stories that are on the podcast. But also thank you for what you're doing with Making the Leap. I've really enjoyed what's happening there and learning from so many people who are in different Christian school contexts. And so thank you. The thing that I'm always impressed with is that the stories are never about trying to send their parents or school leaders, their institutions don't exist to, and the Christian school parents are not sending their students to those institutions in order for the institutions to fix anybody. Mm-hmm. They're there to participate in what God is doing and understanding that all truth is His truth, and that should permeate. That should permeate. And you know, biblical truth should permeate in all disciplines. It's not just that we are Christians learning math, but we can learn math Christianly, and not that we're we tackle a verse onto something and call it Christian ed. It's much deeper than that, and it really is about partnership. And what they talk about in terms of partnership, from the interview to graduation and how we get to live in community together. I have learned a ton in that regard.
Dr. Goodwin, you have been, we were talking a little bit before the show started, you've been doing this at Covenant for 27 years of the 30 years it's existed. And this is just grades 9 through 12. So this is strictly high school. So you have a perspective well beyond ours. I mean, you've been doing Christian school before it was cool. talk to me about kind of the evolution that you've seen in Indiana. You know, it's a part of the country that we haven't really spoken a lot about, and we're always interested to talk with folks around the country. What have you seen in your neck of the woods in the evolution of Christian school over these years?
Well, I'll comment that I look back at some of the pictures from when I first started, and I used to wear a lot of cargo pants, and I've noticed that those have started coming back. So maybe I can find a pair that I used to wear.
Yeah, don't
somewhere.
Throw anything away. It always comes out back cool again, right?
Right. You know, I am on my second never gonna, first of all. I was never going to be a teacher, especially because my parents told me I should and that I'd be good at that. And I was never going to do what they said that I should do. And then I ended up falling in love with teaching accidentally and then was never going to be an administrator. And so here I am 27 years later in this Christian school context. It was brand new to me then. And it's still... It feels fresh to me now because it keeps developing and keeps leaning into its mission and seeing various manifestations. When we first started, we had one sport, and it was co-ed. It was soccer. And now we have 19 varsity teams.
Wow.
We had a drama club that got together and performed small skits quarterly. And now we have a full-fledged fine arts program. And to see the school grow up in that regard and then really grow up spiritually, professionally myself into that is special. And I think it is rare. I do have a lot of people saying, wow, that's a long time to be in one place. And it is a long time to be in one place. But I have to say that I'm in the same context, but not in the same place. Not for myself, definitely not spiritually, definitely not professionally. You know, my family is involved in Christ Centered Ed, have had a lot of family come through this particular school. We talk about minds enlightened, hearts inflamed, lives transformed. And that's our goal. But we don't say that, hey, at the end of 4 years, you're going to be a finished product, basically one foot in heaven. None of us are fully done in this lifetime. But we get to participate in some pretty special kingdom work. And that is still a surprise to me every day that I get to be a part of that. But it's definitely a surprise to me that I was drawn into it because I was just never going to do that.
With all the growth that has been, I mean, we talk about it, I know you talk about it, that it just kind of exploded across the country within this. It's amazing to see, but as we always say, it does bring different challenges to different schools based on, you know, depending on where they are or who their, you know, their clientele is, that kind of thing. What have you seen as one of your big struggles in Covenant as it has kind of come through the years, you know, and I think it's tremendous to grow the clubs and the sports and the academic offerings. I think that's phenomenal, but it doesn't come without some kind of cost. You know, you give up something to get something. And I just wondered if you could elaborate a little bit about what you see as maybe problem number one or what you're starting to overcome as the growth continues.
Yeah. And to that point, you say 425 enrollees, I believe, we're heading into the year. Said to us prior to the conversation beginning, is that an all-time high for you in terms of enrollment over 30 years?
Yes, actually it is. And that is to the capacity of our current facility. So we're thinking about our next steps therein. But as far as challenges, there's always going to be, challenges that any school leader, anybody working in education could say, that's pretty typical. But for a Christian school, there are unique expectations put upon an institution as soon as it is in any way associated with or puts in its name Christian or Christ-centered. And our mission is to provide an excellent Christ-centered education. And you know, over the past couple of decades in Christian education, there have been people who come to the school because it's Christian. And there are Christians who come to the school because it is excellent. And there are people who are good with it being Christian, but are coming because it's excellent. And then we have people who are coming from lots of different perspectives that aren't necessarily wholly sold out to the idea of Christ-centered education and don't necessarily know how to articulate what excellence means. It's just not that, whatever that other option is. And it's not just a public and private conversation. Or a homeschool conversation and a standalone high school, Christian high school conversation. So one of the things that we want to make sure that we always do, and we've done a lot of work in the past few years, is to articulate who we are. What do we mean by our mission? What do we mean by our vision? What do we mean by our credo and our core values? And then how do those show up all the way across? They can't just be on our website and then expect people to read through that and know exactly who we are and want to be a part of that and support that always and in all contexts. So we did a lot of work around our mission, for example, excellent and Christ-centered. Well, those are terms that show up mm-hmm. in a lot of Christian school missions, and they ought to. But what does excellent mean biblically? Well, we see it as in harmony with God, wise, wisdom, made for its purpose, committed to a process. Just as Paul says, run in such a way so as to win the prize. But in kind of our competitive American mentality, a lot of times we read that, if we're really honest, and it says, run and get the prize. Right. And so a lot of things can happen on our way to winning as long as we're just winning, and it's really a path to losing out. So the who we are is really important. And then Christ-centered. Christ-centered means, and in part, it means we're not student-centered. It's not because we don't like our students or we're against what's best for our students, but it's very popular in education to say student-centered. We're Christ-centered because we love our students so much, but firstly, because we love Christ so much. And that means that all truth and all right and righted relationship begin with and emanate from the person of Jesus Christ. If we get those two things right, and we're providing that education for a life of scholarship, leadership, and service, then a lot of things are going to line up. And if we're doing that in sports, in fine arts, in all clubs, and definitely in the classroom, and inviting our team together, our faculty and staff, to understand that and work from that, then a lot of magic can happen.
I think that really speaks to me, just, you know, you're Christ-centered because of your students. And I think as for parents that are listening, that are thinking, is this the switch for me? Is this, you know, is it time for me to start thinking about moving my child from this location to here or whatever? I think parents can take that, you know, or should be taking that, I think, to heart as well. It isn't just about the school feeling that, but parents being, you know, Christ-centered and obviously then directing that towards their children. I think that's really important. And then knowing that that's filtering into the school, I think that's a really kind of a deeper idea for people to be thinking about. Like, and I think words like student center, you know, those are the buzzwords there, but it's semantics. And, you know, we need to be thinking about the big picture of Christ. And I like that that's just a good explanation for parents that are kind of thinking about things.
Dr. Goodwin, to that point, you know, over the years, as we've now talked about these different schools starting brand new or being more established like yours, one of the consistent conversations is not losing that Christ-centered focus or it being compromised right. because of the growth. We talk to young schools, brand new schools, right. who actually kind of fear growth because they fear we get too big, we'll lose our mission. We've talked to guests who've said, yes, I've been in schools that have gotten too big and lost their mission. Are you mindful of that at Covenant Christian, and how have you guarded against that?
Yes. So everybody has to be on the same team if we're going to do this thing well and protect our mission, from the board all the way down. And so, you know, for reading mission alignment books, Peter Greer has a really great one out there, and others have some great instructional, biblically permeated texts that have to do with strategy and mission and vision and credo and core values articulation. As an admin team, we've worked on that language together, and we incorporate conversations with our staff and faculty. And then we show up and very intentionally make sure that everybody's getting the same training. Everybody's hearing those words, and then those words are showing up in all manuals. So the athletics manual, the fine arts manual, at the beginning of seasons. Of course, I'll just say that we all listen seasonally, and it's not that we don't want to hear or the things haven't been said, but we can't assume that just because we've said something from in an assembly or from some stage or even recorded it and put it out there that everybody has actually received the message. And so we have to keep saying that. And hopefully it's not growing stale at all, that it's always exciting and always fresh. But and if and until everyone in our whole team can really articulate and go to and knows to go to those words, those scriptures, those articulations of mission and credo and vision and core values, and know exactly how they show up, how they permeate. Are you a Christian and you coach soccer? Are you coaching soccer Christianly? Are you a Christian and you're in the position of leadership, or are you leading Christianly and missionally, and how does that show up? And so we have those conversations all the time. Hopefully, again, we won't grow weary of them because they are the most important thing.
Well, to that point, may I ask, and I don't mean to go negative on this, and I don't need specifics, of course, but I'm just generally asking because I think we can all kind of benefit from the wisdom of a 30-year school. I assume there have been tough conversations. I assume there have been blunt assessments. I assume you've parted ways with folks, students and or staff, because of ideological differences, I guess, to put it generically.
Yes, there have been times where we've had to have those conversations about alignment, and we would be delighted to continue in relationship always. As Christ would want to continue in relationship and continue in discipleship and learn from one another, and not assume that because we can articulate the things that I've mentioned that we're right about everything. We try to take a humble posture, and the idea that we tend to do the most wrong when we are most committed to being right. And so it's not about being right. It's not about just alignment, but really being clear about who we are and what we're here to do. It's not just about, hey, if you do a good job and are quiet about things, we'll make assumptions that you are a Christ follower, fully committed to Orthodox biblical Christianity. But we're going to have conversations about that.
Our students and parents, families that come to Covenant Christian, I'm intrigued with this. You know, our daughter's going to a school that I don't know, how old is it?
Oh gosh, I think close to 20 years.
20 years old, mm-hmm. But I mean the building she's in, and certainly
the building is within like a five years old
and
itself.
The size of the student body's exploded recently. Yes. It was much, much smaller once upon a time.
Right.
So she's kind of come in at a time where we're starting to see the growth of this school explode. The OGs of this school, it was quite small. So you probably are familiar with this, and I'm intrigued listening to the growth of this school and those that have been around a long time really battling with the growth. And there's been attrition because of it. I mean, let's just be blunt. Mm-hmm. There have been people that said, hey, I liked this when this was a cute, quaint, small
right.
little school. Now
yes.
it's huge. And I guess some just assume because it's gotten big, that's a bad thing. Can you speak to that big Christian school versus small Christian school?
Yeah, so the size of the school... I don't want to downplay the idea of growth and the dangers perhaps it can bring in, but if it's really clear who you are, mm-hmm. and everybody on your team is invited into that and re-invited into that, and as a leader or whomever else is helping others not just know those things but be able to articulate them and make sure they're permeating in curriculum and all instruction and all interaction, then the size of the school is just an opportunity. The growth of the school is just an opportunity to extend the reach of that mission and extend the invitation into that clarity. So, you know, some of the things that we're dealing with right now are, hey, I like my space. There's a downtime in my classroom. Well, as we grow, that classroom is probably going to be used every period of the day, but we're going to offer you a different landing spot, and we're going to furnish that appropriately and make sure that we can really house everybody well and help them to be most effective. We're probably going to do a little bit of instruction with students on how to walk down the hallway and not gum things up. Stay to the right, please. Mm-hmm. It really is, if you have those other foundational things in place, growth is just an amazing opportunity to extend the reach of it.
You know, it just popped in my head as you were talking, and it's not necessarily a question, but we have recently added a football field, and it's overall, I would say it's been met with a lot of excitement and positivity, but there's also been some negativity, you know, where, oh, now we're just attaching a sports team with a field, and it's going to be just like the, you know, public school, da da da. However, yesterday it was amazing to watch picture after picture being shared after the solar eclipse was out there with, the kids could come out, all grade levels, utilize that football field, utilize the additional space, have room to go. And I just thought that's what it's about is, you know, yes. After the presentation, you know, talking about this in the gym, what the solar eclipse is about, you know, focusing on it with that Kingdom education outlook, and then moving to this field that wasn't about being a field for football. It was about a field for community. And I think that speaks a lot to what you're saying, that they're, you know, we have to keep those positives in mind while being mindful of what could go wrong, yeah. I think, at times.
Is that a fair criticism, Dr. Goodwin, that, because I hear it a lot, that Christian schools can get too big and just become ostensibly the thing you might have left in public school. Now you're just striving to be like the public high school with all the bells and whistles. Is that a fair criticism or unfair in your view?
Well, if I may harken back to a scripture on that, when God kind of disciplinarily and otherwise leads into a new society that is not the home society, it's uncomfortable and for lots of different reasons, right? In lots of different situations. But at one point he says, make businesses and help this city flourish. And there are lots of other examples where he says, look, you're here, do these things rightly. When he's talking to Daniel, and Daniel and his friends essentially go to Babylon University for 3 years and learn to speak another language and learn all this culture and learn all the literature of a pagan land. And there, the Babylon's intent is that they forget all the scripture that they've learned and how they've been brought up, which is a huge nod to how important the home is and how important schooling and knowing the scriptures is. But they come into this society and they don't forget, but they do learn and they do participate, and they are placed in these positions of leadership so that God be known. But at every turn, if they don't do it right, they're dead. That's the threat.
Isn't it funny? It's interesting, because as I think about it, it's just the same churches go through. Right. Churches right. that are doing it right and doing it well ultimately start to expand. And
right.
The old timers, if you will, at the church start to often resent the fact that all kinds of new people are coming in and their church is growing. It's like we all kind of have this attitude, I think. I shouldn't say we all. Some of us. And I'll be honest, sometimes growth is uncomfortable, and you think, boy, I liked it better when we were just a tiny, close-knit.
Change is uncomfortable. I think that's,
But it's like good Christians don't mean small, tiny enclaves of Christians, and I think that's the misnomer.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there is a conversation about how to compete Christianly, for sure. Yeah. We used to have T-shirts, by the way, that used to say undefeated since 1995. and they were true because we didn't have a football field. Didn't have a football team until recently. But those are relics, I suppose. And we had to, very intentionally in that context, in all contexts, but in that one especially, we had to and keep having to work to make sure that who we are is most important. Football is the number one sport in America, and it is it draws in a lot of different things. Number one, maybe vitriol. And those guys in the black and white stripes, they put those on and they volunteered to just be berated. And I, as a Christian in this context, get to do that because that's what's done, right? And we have to have conversations sometimes and maybe some lollipops to hand to people and say, hey, this is who we are. And I understand that's your son out there. And I understand that that may have been a really bad call. However, that's a person of authority. And how are we teaching our kids, our students, by our example in this context? So it's an ongoing conversation. But you know, it's not just, hey, we're going to Christianize this thing because at the end of the game, we're going to get around the logo in the middle and pray together. That's important. That's good. But that's not the whole of it. We'd love our refs to walk away and say, we love reffing here.
Well, and that's a cultural fight. I mean, frankly, that's a cultural battle that you would not wage in a very small school because you wouldn't even have football to do so. So I could argue that what you're engaging your students in is something that very tiny schools would never experience at all. But anyway.
No, but I think that's it's actually kind of what I was thinking was it presents a very unique and for lack of a better word, a cool opportunity to teach and to emulate is probably not the right word, but to teach
model.
How not just in your school, but when you're watching football on Sunday afternoons, and how you're speaking in front of people. And if you're in a crowd watching it, what are you doing and how are you doing it? And I think that's really what it's more about. And I think it's a great place to start. I don't know. That just kind of
how about the
big thing.
The difference in 9 through 12, that's your grade, the grade you serve in Covenant Christian High School there in Indianapolis, Dr. Goodwin. 9 through 12, is there something unique about 9 through 12, the high school age in a Christian school versus, say, the K through 8 experience? What do you know that's unique about that where your school is?
Well, I'll recognize first that it is a funny conversation with educators at various levels who say, man, I love where I am. I can't believe, and I could never do what you're doing. I could never work with that age group, whatever age group it is. And so we have some people in the K through 8 arena that say, oh man, high school must be a really crazy animal to try to tame. I am delighted with high schoolers. They're just the best. It's a unique growing period, developmental period, and it is a very challenging one emotionally, and so many people trying to figure your life out for you and demanding that you figure your life out. And I have conversations now with people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and I ask them, hey, are you where you are now? According to where you thought you'd be and what your life plan was somewhere between 14 and 18 and even, post-graduation from college and universally. I have not talked to anybody who said, yeah, absolutely, this is what I thought I'd be doing and what my life would look like. So get to talk to them about, hey, we're interested in who you are and who you're becoming and just have a new conversation, a refreshed conversation. It is new every day, exciting every day, and love being a part of their lives in this context.
I'm kind of shifting for a second. I'm curious, based on something you had said earlier, that teaching had not been your plan. Were you brought up in a home that was a Christian, Christian-based home where you had a different, whole different plan? Was it Christian education in general, even in your view? Like, was it something in front of you or was it Christianity itself, was that not in play at all?
Yeah, did grow up in a Christian home, Christ-centered education or Christian schooling was not something that we really talked about or was really available, something we were aware of. So we were going to our neighborhood schools. Actually, my older sister and I were in the time of busing and desegregation, mm-hmm. and a really important effort there across our city. However, where we lived, that caused the boundary kept getting redrawn. And so my sister went to 6 schools in 8 years, and I went to 4 schools in about 6 years. So we got used to adapting, but building community was a significant challenge. But growing up in a Christian home was wonderful. Went to church, each week, and were involved in youth group. And so that part, at least, was important to us.
I think I just asked that. I was curious, too, as you said, multiple schools in multiple years. I think it's important for the people that are listening to us, too, to know that it doesn't have to, like what you said, that picture of what you think you're going to do in the future as a job and a career, what we picture sometimes as parents for our kids isn't necessarily what's going to actually happen. And I think it's important. You've turned out okay. You've done all right with bouncing, having to go from school to school. And I think that same idea can be applied within the Christian school realm too, that, if you're looking for something, that it can be switched and altered, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the status quo of what's out there for everybody.
Harder for kids in high school, Dr. Goodwin, to make the leap. We talk to a lot of people that, my kid's in elementary or kindergarten, or I'm just putting him or her in preschool. And now young parents are starting to think about Christian education from the very start. We were parents that jumped in middle school.
Mm-hmm. Which is growing, too. Yeah. Like, those numbers are growing in the middle and the high school.
It seems the biggest growth is in the young kids.
Right.
It's the older kids where you often, and I will be honest, we'd kind of assessed with our own oldest 2 sons, we'll just let them ride it out and finish it. I don't know that was the right call. Do you have an assessment of people that are thinking, public school's gone off the rails, we really, as Christians, we should work harder with our kids? Should you have the conversation about pulling a sophomore or junior out of their public high school and putting them in a covenant?
Yeah, so there we have a pretty big mix, and we've seen that over the years. Some people who have done homeschooling all the way up to 8th grade with the idea that they would have their students be at covenant for high school. We have people who have transferred over as juniors, and on occasion seniors. It's harder, much harder. Sure. As a senior. But finishing up the last 2 years, you can really become a part of the community. And if you found kind of your niche in participation or various different things you participate in, that can work really well. High school is, I'll just say, as you're selecting a school, really have conversations with the school leaders about the school's values. When there is misalignment between the family's values and the school's values, whatever school that is, that's going to filter down into the student's experience, no doubt. It's not insurmountable. As you noted, I'm, I survived. But I don't think surviving should be the goal,
right,
but thriving, flourishing. And so there is no amount of money, no amount of less time in the car, driving back and forth to chauffeurs, our kids around, that I would trade for how they are becoming, who they are becoming, in the formation of their personhood and celebration of their personhood in a Christ-centered environment for our own kids and for the students here. So I would encourage also to not necessarily worship the God of enmity. enmity is a fickle God. Mm-hmm. It's not an us or them. There is a battle. There's definitely a spiritual battle happening. But there is a beauty in the good of finding a school. And we believe that the Christ-centered ed is the best offering of this for the whole person, full development of who they are and who they're becoming.
Amen.
Dr. Andy Goodwin, this was a great conversation, and it occurs to me as we're talking to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I think that we ought to make a map of the at least the continental United States, although we should include Alaska and Hawaii. I think you're the first Indiana school that we've talked to. We should check off the list so that we plug in every state. I think we should
do that. Good backdrop.
Let's
we can
make
have that.
That a goal here at Mahina Leap. You're the first Indiana representative, Dr. Goodwin. We love the story of Covenant Christian High School and the Transforming Lives podcast. People can check that out. What do you do that? Every week? Every couple of weeks?
Yes, sir. Every week. Yep.
Well, we'll look forward to listening to that in the future, and we wish you all the very, very best. God bless you and all the work you've done over 27 years, 30 years in total for the Covenant Christian High School folks in Indianapolis. Great pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on Making a Leap.
And we will see you back here next week. Thanks a lot for downloading the show.
Making the Leap is a podcast presentation courtesy of the Herzog Foundation. We'd love your feedback by rating us and commenting on the show.
And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Making the Leap.